Welcome back to the Zachnology Tech Review Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Zach Bouchard.
And I'm Charlie Jacobs.
And coming up in Season 3, Episode 4, we're going to be talking about why 5G technology wasn't as good as they said it would be. We'll break down how it was marketed by companies and how it has actually performed in the real world. All that and more next on the Zachnology Tech Review Podcast.
Thank you so much for joining us here on Season 3, Episode 4 of the Zachnology Tech Review Podcast. Happy New Year, everyone, in our last episode of 2022. How you doing, Zach?
I'm good, Charlie. How are you?
I'm good. This is the end of the third year that our, you know, we started in 2020, so the end of our third year right. That our podcast has been a part of. So, you know, hope you had a great year. We had a great year here at the podcast, and we're looking forward to an exciting next year. Now, you heard in the promo, you see the title of the episode, and that is 5G expectations versus reality. And we'll obviously dive in depth into this, but basically, you know, it was 5G was supposed to be the future, and well, the future's here, and doesn't seem that much different than the past.
Right.
So, Zach, you know, take it away, and what was 5G built up to be? And for those who don't really know what they're talking about, what is 5G?
Right. So we actually covered 5G. I believe it was last year at some point in a TR5 where we were talking about what the expectations were for 5G. And keep in mind, this was before it was very widespread. So we didn't really know how it would be applied in the real world. Now that 5G has been around for a little while, we have a better idea of how the real world performance has lived up to the expectations that the companies, you know, promised. So, well, let's talk about what was promised. The idea behind 5G was higher speeds all across the board, and that includes just in general higher speeds. Where so on the 4G connection, you might have heard of 4G LTE. On 4G, you had about 100 megabits per second as the top speed for that type of connection, and usually you'd get lower speeds just because of bunch of technical stuff and, you know, distance between the cell towers. Anyways, 5G has a capability of 20 gigabits per second or 20,000 megabits per second. And to do the conversion for you, that's 200 times the speed of 4G LTE. And then also has lower latency, which is very similar to speeds, but it's in general just the amount of time it takes for your device to communicate with another computer, regardless of the speed of the connection. Just how to talk to it. So that's not very important, but all across the board, higher speeds in general is what was promised. And there was a ton of hype from the tech companies about this, whether it was the device manufacturers, the carriers, or even the manufacturers of the 5G technology. There was a ton of hype about how this was going to be the future of mobile devices. You had phone manufacturers literally branding their devices with the 5G name. You have the Galaxy S20 5G, the Google Pixel 4a 5G. All the 5G was the big selling point of all these new phones. And then on top of that, you had the cell companies talking about how their new plans come with 5G. And that's the big selling point of those plans. It's also why they charge you an extra $10 a month for it. So again, these companies are really, you know, putting all their money into promoting this new technology. And from the consumer standpoint, there wasn't much hype. It wasn't really talked about that much among consumers as, say, 4G, where 4G, you had huge technological breakthroughs that allowed videos and websites to load faster, but consumers didn't seem to be talking about 4G much. It was mostly just coming from the companies. Now, really quickly, I want to talk about the technology that goes into 5G, because this is important later on. They use technology called millimeter wave, abbreviated as mm wave, and what they do is they shorten the wavelengths of the signals, and shorter wavelengths can carry much higher energy. So this higher energy allows it to carry more data, which equates to faster speeds.
Right. So I think the selling point of these faster speeds, and you might remember back in 2020, there was all these commercials, you know, Verizon Ultra Wideband, AT&T 5G, all these companies pouring money into these ads. They would talk about how you could download a 2-hour movie in 4K. You could download it in 3 minutes. How there are all these new possibilities that weren't possible before. And, you know, these companies are making it sound like this big deal, but you're absolutely right, Zach. There wasn't a lot of hype about it, and a lot of that is, you know, do I need to download a movie in exactly. Do I need to download a movie in 10 seconds? Like, you know, what good does that do me? Is there necessarily a practical reason for the increased speeds?
Right. It goes back to, like, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
I don't think many people saw a problem with 4G. If I had to find something, you know, wrong with it, I would say reliability and coverage. I want to be able to go out into the countryside and still have a solid connection on 4G. I don't care that I can download a movie in less than 5 minutes. I want to be able to go somewhere and know I'm able to communicate reliably.
And, you know, I have no guilt about calling out Verizon here specifically. I have an iPhone 12 on Verizon, and the coverage is terrible. At school, I get 1 to 0 bars depending on where I am. Anywhere remotely rural, the service is terrible. And that's a good point, Zach. I would, you know, 10 times rather have 4G everywhere than this really amazing 5G 1% of the time and then spotty 4G the rest of the time.
It's right.
Just because the 5G revolution did not increase reliability or coverage, it increased speed for some people and really just made these cell companies put all their money into this. And I think maybe overlooking other network-wide upgrades.
Right, and that touches into what we're going to cover next, which is the problems with 5G and what actually happened in the real world, what consumers were actually seeing versus what they were promised a year ago.
Absolutely, Zach, and we haven't done this in a while. We have a voice message from one of our loyal listeners, as I always say, this time from Australia. How about that?
Yeah.
Let's take a listen. We'll be right back.
All right. Thanks, mate. I'm from Australia. Big fan of the Zachnology Tech Review podcast. You know, my family, friends, we all listen to it for the latest tech news and updates. So, you know, from down under, I just like to extend our warmest thanks to Charlie and Zach. Keep up the good work, boys.
All right, well, it was really great to hear a voice message, you know, from the other side of the world, really. And remember, just like that Aussie, you can submit your voice messages on our website, tech-reviews.zachnology.com, or our free mobile app on Google Play, or you can download it from the website. And quick shout out to Zach. He made some really great improvements over on Zachnology.com for all of your in-home technology needs. So that will be available very soon. So Zach, we talked about what the expectations of 5G was, you know, how great it was supposed to be, faster speeds, these great things you could do with it. And I think it's fair to say that didn't happen.
Right. And I think, well, what we should start off with talking about is the range of 5G. And this is something that tech companies knew about before it started being implemented, but consumers didn't really know about this. Or, you know, it was available information, but because all the ads were talking about the speed, this kind of got overlooked, you could say. So it's the range of millimeter wave, and the problem is that because the waves are so tiny, they can carry a lot of energy, but that energy doesn't go far. And as a result of that, you're going to see really, really short ranges on 5G. You know, you could be downtown in the city, you could get great 5G connection if you're standing on the street, because you could be, you know, in direct line of sight with the 5G tower, but then say you move a few steps behind a building or where you're no longer within range of that tower, now you could be on a 4G connection, or you could get speeds that are like 15 megabits per second as opposed to 300. So that's mostly the main issue. And so as a result of that, you know, you have to have 5G towers basically at every street corner in order to blanket the entire city with this connection. And that's really costly for the companies. It takes a long time to install that, and it means that you're not going to see 5G coverage in rural areas because it's not worth it to install those cell towers there.
Now, absolutely. If you need one of these, you know, towers, or no matter what it's attached to, one of these antennas essentially on every block, you know, if you're doing it in a densely populated city where each tower is covering 1,000 people, that's a lot different than the middle of nowhere where each tower is covering 3 households or something like that.
Exactly.
And that's why, like you said, even though these companies will talk about, you know, how great the 5G coverage is, I don't see that 5G logo on my screen very often. And half the time when I do, we can get, you know, we'll dive a little more into why this is in a minute, but half the time when I see the 5G logo, I'm noticing no change whatsoever in speeds.
Right, and that's actually a really interesting topic that, like you said, we'll talk about in a minute. And also I want to talk about the ratio of 5G to 4G users, because these companies keep talking about how 5G is the next revolution. But in reality, a very, very, very small percentage of the global population, even the population inside of the United States, gets 5G, because you need to be in a densely populated area in order to have it, because that's the only places that companies are willing to implement it. So you see all these tech companies talk about this is the future, but in reality, only a few people have access to that right now, because the rest of the country is so sparse where it's only worth it to install 4G, because that's what's going to cover it.
Well, Zach, I think this is a good bridge into our next point, and maybe the thing that makes me, you can probably tell me and Zach aren't huge fans of the claims that were made versus the results, and here's one thing the companies are trying to do to get around that, and that is called sub 6 5G. So Zach, we'll dive more into the specifics, but basically what this is essentially fake 5G.
It's fake 5G.
It's you know, technically, I guess, scientifically, however you want to say it, it is 5G. Your phone will tell you it's 5G. You'll think it's 5G, but you're not getting what 5G was intended to be. Essentially, what it is in, you know, maybe a slightly faster 4G LTE signal. And that's what you'll get in maybe suburban areas when it says 5G, when you know there's not a cell tower on your block. You're getting these same long range, maybe a slightly faster 4G signal, and the company is essentially branding this as 5G. And Zach, what I'm seeing is, you know, if once again, I'll call it Verizon, not a Verizon fan, you know, with my Verizon, when it's saying I got 5G, I feel like 90% of the time it's this sub 6 5G, where it's not the true 5G that it was advertised as.
Right. I mean, I live, you know, more in the city, so I think we have higher rates of 5G towers here. So I've noticed higher speeds after switching over to 5G. But again, a lot of consumers aren't seeing these speeds they were promised. They see speeds that are similar to, if not maybe a little bit faster than the speeds they were on with a 4G LTE connection. And really, it goes back to, like you were saying, this sub-6 technology. It's basically, they just amped up the speeds of 4G slightly. As a trade-off, the range is slightly lowered, but it's not much different than 4G. And the problem with this is that phones have no indicator telling you if you're on the true 5G, which is millimeter wave. Millimeter wave is the real 5G, where you get high speeds and low range. So phones have no way of telling you if you're on millimeter wave or sub-6 5G. And so as a result of that, you might think you're on 5G, even if you're out in the suburbs, when really you're only on this sub-6, which is just 4G LTE. And well,
I want to say, on paper, it's 5G. Your experience is going to be 4G.
And companies are still allowed to brand this as 5G. Your phone will tell you it's 5G. The companies will tell you you're in a 5G zone, because there's no regulation that prohibits them from doing that.
And one thing is, I've seen it in, once again, Verizon ads, AT&T ads, T-Mobile ads. They'll show these maps of our 5G coverage, and there you go. This sub-6 5G, the ranges are so much longer, they can get more area in. So you might look at the 5G coverage map of the whole country and go, oh, that looks great. But if you peeled away the fake 5G and look at the true 5G, the coverage, I know it is not very good. It's probably going to be only in the densest of urban centers.
Right. And the last point I want to talk about is, well, the situations or examples that companies provided when they were talking about use cases for 5G and how it's going to revolutionize the world. And I think, well, like one example could be, say you're in, you know, the metaverse or the 3D world.
And can I give a quick background of what that is? We need to get into that for a future episode, but basically Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook, now called Meta, say it however you want to create this pretty much virtual world where you put on these 3D, you know, the goggles, the virtual headsets, and you're pretty much immersed in this virtual world,
right,
where you can interact with people and buy things and all this. And, you know, will we ever be living in that? Totally no, but it's a very futuristic concept,
right.
And I think that essentially 5G was supposed to maybe be a stepping stone working towards full metaverse technology.
Right. And well, so one example I'll just provide here is like you could view a 3D model in the metaverse while someone across the globe works from it. You can see updates in real time or you can interact through this. And these are all, you know, cool experiences, but in the current world, they're unrealistic because we don't have the devices. We don't have the infrastructure to support this yet. 5G is just one small component of what makes this possible. You need the devices to support this. You need the computer chips to support this. Companies need to start implementing this, and this touches into another problem with this, is that not only do we not have the devices to support this, but even when we do, you have to consider, you know, say this 3D model. You have to have the right companies, manufacturers, file types, brands. All of these have to be, have to work with each other, have to be correct in order for this to work. Your 3D model might only work if it's made by a certain company, or if your VR headset was a certain brand, or if this model was on a specific type of server or file type. You don't know, but everything has to line up in order for these experiences to work. This could change in the future if companies work together on this metaverse, but in the current stage, if this were to be possible, it would be this these hyper specific situations that only a few people would be able to access, and that in reality you have to consider if you would ever even use it.
Right. And there was these other examples. I know one was like a doctor could be operating on you from halfway around the world.
No thanks.
I think that kind of, you know, begs the question of, do we need this stuff? Do we want this stuff? And I think what it boils down to in the end, I think 5G is ahead of its time. The technology, we are not blasting the technology, we're blasting implementation. The true 5G technology is incredible technology that will do great things in the future, but companies spending so much money to give some people this product and pretend more people are getting it, it's not being used the way it's intended because we don't have that all that technology yet. 5G, you know, the future of 5G, I'm sure, is bright, Zach, but you can't really push it into society when the things that it's intended to use don't exist yet. I think it's essentially the problem that this technology can do all these great things, but right now, you know, we're just using it to check our email or, you know, Grubhub McDonald's, and it's nothing that you couldn't do before, I think is what it boils down to.
Right, and it's like, you know, let's focus on the issues that are relevant right now. This isn't an issue. Once we have the other components that will make this technology possible, then 5G could be applied to it. But right now, like I said, the issues I want to see solved, better coverage. I want to be able to get reliable connection everywhere. I don't care about someone sending me a 3D model in the metaverse and me being able to view it in real time or whatever. So again, like you said, it's about what's relevant right now, and 5G just isn't applicable to many of the issues that we face in the current world.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that that's all I have to say, Zach. So thank you for that. I think that's going to wrap up Season 3, Episode 4 of the Zachnology Tech Review Podcast, and is going to wrap up 2022. So we hope you have a great 2023. Hopefully you'll hear from us not too far into that year, and have a great weekend, everyone. So for Zach Bouchard and everyone here at Zachnology, including our correspondents in Australia, I'm Charlie Jacobs. We'll see you later.
All contents of this podcast are copyright 2022 by Charlie Enterprises Limited Liability Corporation, all rights reserved. Charlie has received paid compensation from Spotify Technologies SA. Charlie reserves the right to use voice messages in the podcast for a paid compensation.